Welcome to Phoenix. We are live from our Airbnb. What town are we in?
We are in Phoenix, Arizona.
Well, this is like a wonder jaunt.
Yeah. So that's the name of like the Airbnb. I don't know either.
That's Zach Sterniolo. We also got Daniel McFadden in the house. Literally, we are in the house
right now.
Someone's house.
Yeah, it's not our house. Chilling in an Airbnb right now. We are watching a throwback Phoenix race from
when?
November 5th, 2000. It is Ryan Newman's first Cup Series start.
Feels kind of fitting because potentially this could be his last career start.
It could be, yes.
Put air quotes around everything.
Yes.
We don't know for sure. But we're bringing you a podcast this week that's a little bit different because usually I have Daniel on Zoom or I have Zach on Zoom or I have Massey or Amy or Beth, whatever. And now we got all three homies in person together. So welcome to the Front Stretch Podcast, everybody. The Championship Four is set. We are ready to rock and roll. Wow, I miss Steve Burns. We're going to have like random anecdotes also throughout this podcast.
I have no memory of that TNN logo.
That was before my time. Before your time too, right?
I mean, this was before I was paying attention every week.
Well, let's just get it out of the way. I'm the old man in the room, so yeah, I remember more.
You are. Ralph Shaheen, missed that man. Speed Sport, killing it. Dale Earnhardt in the background. Yeah, this is going to be off the rails big time, but that's what you get with us. All right. Championship Four is set, fellas. Martinsville, it was a great, great racing weekend. We had the Cup Series, the Xfinity Series, the Truck Series back from their hiatus, which seemed like they were off for 2 months. Let's go in last to first in terms of how the race is finished. We've got to start with the Cup Series, Zach, right? Bowman versus Hamlin, the ending was absolutely insane. It was something else, right? My question to you to start things off, do you think the fans had a right to be mad? Do you think the fans should have booed Denny Hamlin, or do you think that they were overreacting a little bit?
I don't really know if it matters whether the fans booed Denny or not. I do feel like they were a little bit out of – I feel like they were a little harsh on Denny, I'll be honest, because the move – you know, Denny was showing his passion and his anger after the race, and that's what fans arguably want all the time, right? We want to see that the drivers care. But when a driver shows that he cares and that he's passionate and that he's pissed off, the fans didn't like it very much. So it's interesting to me. But it was clear that Bowman's move was unintentional. So I think Denny realized that after he had time to process it, but that's kind of the beauty of what we had was he didn't have time to process it. So we saw it raw and live.
I think there's a double standard here, Daniel, because everybody says, oh, we want the drivers to show emotion. We want them to be unfiltered. We want them to be themselves. And then when they do that, they get crucified for it. So where's the middle ground here?
I think it just depends on which driver they're talking about.
I think you're completely right. Because I think Jeff and Jordan talked about this on the teardown, but roles reversed, right? Let's put Kyle Busch and Kyle Larson, what they did is their example. If Kyle Larson spins Kyle Busch, everybody's going to cheer because Kyle Busch got wrecked. If Kyle Busch spins Kyle Larson, everybody's going to boo because they hate the living daylights out of Kyle Busch. So it's about the factors and the people that are involved. I think you're right.
Yeah, it's a case by case basis. But like, remember when Truex and Logano had their thing at Martinsville. What was that? 18?
18.
They were booing Truex after that. Even though that was clean racing, right?
Short track racing.
That was like the next year. Whoever does the trash talking, it seems like I think that's who gets booed the most, maybe.
Unless they're Chase Elliott, in which case then the crowd just roars because, oh my God, he's standing up for himself and
he's showing emotion. Right. Good for him.
Yeah. Kyle Busch was not too happy with Brad Keselowski after the race. They both failed to make the Championship Four. They both had a chance to move Alex Bowman for the win at the end of things, but they decided that they were going to race clean, which we're going to talk about in a minute here, because that was the complete opposite of what we saw in some other series over the weekend. Daniel, were you surprised at all that the 2 or the 18 didn't put the bumper to the 48, or did you kind of think that they were going to race things clean?
I mean, I already watched the race that night, I really kind of thought, was surprised that, yeah, they didn't go after it or push the envelope just a little bit more. But, I mean, we saw a race. It was really hard to pass. like, regardless of who or what. So, but yeah, I really was surprised that this, of all people, that Kyle Busch, yeah, didn't push the envelope more.
And I think what's interesting about it is, you know, we heard Jeff on his podcast talk about the fact that, you know, Kyle said that he was willing to make that move. He actually was ready to make that move, but he just couldn't get there. And it kind of looked like that was the case with Brad too. That 48 car got a really good start on the last restart there. Gave him just enough space between his rear bumper and Brad's nose, where Brad couldn't really dive in deep enough to get there and make that contact. So it is interesting that neither of them could have gotten there. But I think that just kind of speaks to the short run car that the Hendrick cars had, as opposed to the long run cars that both of those guys did.
I mean, like, speaking of, like, Hendrick, like, it was clear at the end of that race, like, Bowman had the better car.
Definitely.
Over Hamlin. Like,
he was quicker.
He was not letting up, and Hamlin was not getting away. So this wasn't like a case of some slower car impeding in Hamlin's chances at a win.
Yeah.
So the championship four set, we got Kyle Larson, Chase Elliott, who locked himself in the middle of stage two and then focused his attention on the Braves. Congrats all the Braves fans out there, World Series champs, as well as the Joe Gibbs Racing duo of Martin Truex Jr., who somehow, someway, was able to salvage a top five with a beaten and battered left front quarter panel, and he slammed the wall on his right side with like 20 laps to go. I don't know how he was able to get it home to the finish.
Truex's whole round of eight was, I think, underrated. Yeah. After crashing out at Texas and then having his problems at Kansas, and then he came back to finish, what was it? It was seventh. Seventh.
Yeah.
So, and then I never saw what his car looked like at the very end.
It was not pretty.
But it was not. But no, not I think pretty. What he was able to accomplish over the course of three races, especially how it started, was impressive.
Yeah.
So the championship four there is set. Let's talk about the other two series briefly as well that were in action. Zach, I think the Xfinity Series race was probably the best display of pure, clean racing that we've seen in a really long time. And to be honest with you, when I saw that Noah Gragson was up front and he was going for a win, I didn't think that we were going to see super clean, respectful racing. But to his credit, he chooses the outside because, as Dave Ellens told him, winners want the front row. He chooses the front row, is able to get by Hemric on the outside. Caution comes out. Then he's able to choose the bottom, protect that lane, and he hits a little walk-off home run and wins that race to get himself into the championship four over Daniel Hemric. And joining them will be Austin Cindric and AJ Allmendinger. But the nine car, we've seen that when he's under pressure, he's able to perform, and when he's hot, he's hot. So going to Phoenix, you may want to watch that nine car.
Well, it's fascinating, too, to see, because I think this whole season we've spoken about Austin Cindric and we've spoken about AJ Allmendinger. Those two are the Xfinity Series title favorites. But Noah Gragson, with momentum under his foot, I feel like you've got to watch out for him this weekend. And then we talk about a guy like Daniel Hemric. He's been fast all season. Really, I do feel like this Xfinity Series championship is kind of suiting up for, or shaping up to be, any one of those four drivers. And I feel like you can make an argument that all four of those guys would be deserving champions after the seasons that they've had respectively.
And even if they don't win the championship, like the three drivers you just mentioned, they're coming back next year. So there's three out of four chance someone you're going to get a new champion, and all three of those guys are coming back.
Yeah. And the one that's not has already won a championship. Yeah. So that'll be an interesting dynamic to see play out. Felt bad for Justin Allgaier. I mean, he's one of those guys that everybody loves, and he's super nice, but nice doesn't really get you too far at Martinsville, right? I mean, he came close, and I'm sure it was a bit more heartbreaking for him knowing how good he is at Phoenix, because we've seen him have a lot of success there in the past, and he still is chasing that elusive championship. So it was tough to see him not make it, but at the end of the day, I think that four of the best, if not the best, Xfinity drivers probably make up that title four.
Who's the cup equivalent of Justin Allgaier at this point?
Denny Hamlin, probably. Probably, right? You'd have to say, what would you say?
I mean, I would agree with that. I think, you know, Justin doesn't have the wins that Denny does at the cup level, comparatively in the Xfinity Series. But, you know, he's a guy who always puts himself in contention. He's always in position to capitalize on a good, strong playoff run. He's steady. He just hasn't been able to actually get that championship title.
He won Darlington, Atlanta. Was that it?
I don't know. He won a few. Did he win Dover as well? Maybe? I don't know. That might have been last year. But regardless, our statistician, Zach Sterniola, is looking that up as we speak. It was good to see the display of family camaraderie after the race. And he was on Sirius yesterday, and we were listening to his interview, and he was saying how even though, you know, racing is still kind of his main focus and it's everything that he lives for, having family there and his two kids and his wife there to kind of comfort him as he got out of the car, because, you know, obviously drivers show emotion, but he looked pretty defeated right there. But to have his wife there to comfort him, that was a cool thing to see. What have you found, statistician Zach?
Justin Allgaier, two wins on the 2021 season, Atlanta and Darlington.
All right, Daniel was right. Very good. So let's go on to the Truck Series now. Polar opposite of what we saw in the Xfinity Series race a couple hours after. Man.
Full disclosure, I don't even remember who won at this point.
Zane Smith.
Okay.
Man, I mean, kudos to Zane Smith for doing what he had to do to get the victory, but there was no respect shown by any driver in that field, whether you were a back marker, whether you were a front runner, a young driver, a veteran. I did not love what I saw. I don't really have any room to speak on that because I've never driven a race car or a race truck, but as a fan slash media member observing that race in person and seeing 89 of the 200 laps run under caution, Zach, that was not great.
It was ugly is what it was. Yeah. You know, Zane Smith, I feel like his move on Todd Gilliland in 3 and 4 to get to the lead late in that race was actually fairly clean. It was a bump and run, but it was a fairly clean move. He allowed,
compared to the other things that happened in that race, it was very clean.
Well, that's it. He allowed Todd to gather it up and, you know, actually race it out. But then Stuart Friesen is the one I feel most disappointed in. If I can single out a particular driver in all of this, and now there were a lot of really bad examples of bad driving in this one. Austin Wayne Self, enemy number one right there. But Stuart Friesen coming off turn four, coming to the white flag, turns left just to right rear Todd Gilliland, and then tries to do the same thing to Zane Smith and instead spins himself in turn one. It was all sorts of ugly. I'm glad a playoff driver won a race in this round, but bad. Just bad.
Oh, I couldn't believe that they didn't wait till the backstretch to start doing this. Like, if the white flag's out, wait, just wait. At least half a lap.
They got no patience.
Like,
none.
They haven't had patience all season. They haven't had patience all playoffs. It was not great. And a lot of the drivers, again, veterans, young drivers, everybody in between, Friesen actually was one of the ones that was very vocal and adamant about the lack of respect. And even though he kind of admitted a little bit to taking the blame for some of the wrecks that happened on the last lap, he was pointing to NASCAR saying that it needs to come from the top down and there's a lack of reprimand, his words, not mine. And I wrote about it this week in NASCAR Mailbox, so you can check it out on frontstretch.com. But he thinks that it should come from the top down, and he has had conversations with the series director about it. Nothing has really happened, and we've seen this trend that's been going less and less towards respectful racing. But I think that now it's kind of coming to a head and it's kind of overflowing, because we saw how the Truck Series Championship ended at Phoenix last year with Sheldon Creed kind of bullying some people out of the way. It wasn't dirty necessarily, but it wasn't crystal clean.
It was aggressive.
It was definitely aggressive. So I don't know what needs to happen here, Daniel, whether or not NASCAR needs to step in, whether or not the veterans need to handle it themselves. I mean, Matt Crafton was saying that he was going to go punch people and then he never ended up doing anything. So I don't know what needs to happen here.
Well, I think one thing I've learned over the years is that for the most part, NASCAR drivers are all bark.
Yeah.
Like 75% all bark. So also, like, we need to find, like, what's respectful racing? Like, what does that even mean in 2021?
Well, and that's a good question. And I think, you know, I was thinking about this when I saw a lot of these arguments start with how playoff drivers race non-playoff drivers, and all that whole conversation has been going on really since, I guess, Texas with Tyler Reddick and William Byron, even at the Roval. Point being, I think it just comes down to mindfulness. You don't have to race them any harder or less aggressively, but at least be smart about it. Like, you can race someone hard into the corner, but you know when too far is too far. That's kind of my thought. You, as a race car driver, as a professional race car driver, you should be able to understand what that limit is. And some of these guys are just driving in over their heads, it seems like, at some points. That's my take anyway.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I wish we had more time to talk about the truck series because I could go on and on and on. And this is where I usually tell my guests on Zoom, stick around because we have a stage break. But since you're sitting next to me on the couch, I can just tell you to stick around and not move.
All right.
This week's stage break is unsponsored once again, but fear not, even though we only got a couple episodes left of the podcast for this season, you can get in on the fun. Advertising is wide open here on the Front Stretch Podcast. All you got to do is contact sales@frontstretch.com. We'll get you hooked up with any sponsorship you may like, whether it be video, audio, articles on the website, anything you need, we will get you hooked up and make it worth your while. That's sales@frontstretch.com. Let's throw it over to my chat with Matt DiBenedetto of Wood Brothers Racing. Disclaimer, this was recorded before he decided to deactivate his Twitter account. If you don't know why he decided to do that, he was making light of the situation where Kyle Busch has been required to take sensitivity training for saying the R word post-race in Martinsville. He posted some stuff on Instagram, which has not been deactivated. Posted a video there, and if you want to check that out, you're more than welcome to, but Matt DiBenedetto, don't think he's going to come back on Twitter anytime soon. We will see, but the conversation was still a pretty good one. We talked about him going into the last race with the Wood Brothers. Is it going to be his last race in the Cup Series? I don't know. We'll find out. And also, we got a little bit deep. We talked about the meaning of life. We actually did that. It was very interesting. Got a little spiritual, and he's had a big journey in terms of figuring out what his point of being on this earth is. Again, it's pretty deep, but we got into it. So here's our conversation with Wood Brothers Racing's Matt DiBenedetto. Pleasure, welcome on to the show today, a fan favorite indeed, and yes, his middle name is in fact actually Guido. Matt DiBenedetto, welcome on, my friend. It's been a while since we chatted, and now we're going into Phoenix, the last race of the season. Last race for you with the Wood Brothers, probably a mix of emotions. Sad to see a good thing come to an end. Happy to have a little bit of a break in the off season, and obviously still looking for some stuff going on next year. But I'm sure that there has to be some bittersweet emotions going on at the moment.
Yeah, for sure. Especially because, man, the Wood Brothers are family, truly are family, and they always will be for life. That's the most amazing part of driving for them. So, but yeah, you know, you're just so emotionally invested in the team. That's what makes it sad, knowing that that part of driving the 21 is coming to a close. But obviously driving for them has been such a privilege, and you know, just wanting all the success in the world for us together throughout this journey.
You say it all the time that driving for them has been like a dream. It's one of, if not the most iconic teams, paint schemes, numbers, individuals, Hall of Famers in the entire sport of NASCAR. And again, I mean, sorry to pour like salt in the wound, you know, but now we got one race left together with you guys. So can you reflect a little bit on that and what it's been like to be a part of a team with such a storied history like the Wood Brothers, and to be able to lean on Hall of Famers' advice and just the amazing people that are operating out of the shop down there?
Yeah, man, it's been a blessing driving for them. Because, you know, people ask all the time about what's the best part, the coolest part about driving for the Wood Brothers. And I'm like, hey, I could go on and on about, you know, the history of the team and all their accomplishments. And I mean, that just goes without saying. Honestly, the best part about it is the character of them. The Wood Brothers and the Wood family are truly such good human beings that they make you want to be a better human being in life. So it goes far beyond just the aspect of driving in circles. So they're the best people, and that's the coolest part.
I know John has some fun on their social media accounts. I'm not sure which of the Woods, but I know that they do some like RC plane flying around, like around the shop. Do you get to do any of that stuff when you're down there?
Actually, when I went there one time, we got caught up for many hours running on the slot car track in the shop at the museum. So that's usually the biggest hang up.
I love it. That museum must be pretty badass too, just literally walking history in there.
Oh, 100%. And the coolest part too is how passionate that they are about every single one of those and the clarity that they give you when they're explaining, you know, all about that day or that race or that moment. That's the neatest part of seeing their heart through it all.
Yeah. You've been pretty transparent about your situation for next year. I know I listen to you every Tuesday on Track with Danielle and Larry Mack. And now that it's kind of coming to a head and now that the season itself is coming to an end, I mean, just how frustrating has it been? Because you're one of the most positive guys out there in the garage, and I know that this has been weighing on you and Tay and everybody. It's just, it's got to be one of those situations where it's just so frustrating because at this point, there's not really a whole lot you can really do.
Yeah, you know, I think if this was me going through this in years past, it would be the emotional roller coaster of, you know, the highest of highs. And then at this point, it would be the lowest of lows because not knowing what's going on for next year and you're trying to figure it out. It's late in the game. All these things, trying to figure out sponsorship stuff, you name it. But honestly, my and I'm open about it, my faith has changed that. So it's a lot different going through it this time because I know that everything in life doesn't work out according to my plan. I'm not in charge, but I am in charge of working as hard as I possibly can, making sure I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to do. And, you know, the rest of it will happen exactly how it's supposed to. So, so yeah, things are coming together and starting to fall in place, but don't know exactly what it's going to be yet for next year, but good things are working and I feel sure it'll work out how it's supposed to.
You've been very open about your faith journey as well on social media and interviews, everything like that. It seems to have impacted you this year a little bit different than it has in the past. And it seems like Tay has been along that journey with you. I'm not like a super spiritual religious guy or anything like that. And I know some people are, some people aren't. There's a spectrum, right? As you know, I guess my question is why now? Like what changed in you or in Tay to have you guys have this mindset change and go through this personal growth this year compared to the years past?
Yeah, you know, I didn't realize how empty I was until now. And I look back at the 29 years of my life and I feel like I was blind and lost. And I didn't realize it while I was through that time. And racing actually was a big piece of this because my whole goal, my whole life, and it's had, this hasn't changed, and my desire has not changed. It's as strong as could ever be, but was win a cup race. That's my life's goal. And life is about racing, racing over everything, racing over my wife, racing first. Again, it doesn't make me, I'm still overly like super all in everything I do to a fault, to be honest with you, to a fault in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But I got to thinking, I was just, we were going through some things in life in general. My dad was having some, and still battles some mental health struggles that were, you know, on the suicidal spectrum and things that were very, very difficult. And it made me realize, man, our family's missing something. And then I got to thinking about racing and I'm like, okay, our life's goal has been to win a race. And I was like, okay, so what happens? Then I win a cup race. Then what? That's temporary. Okay, then you go and win more cup races. Then what? Then you win cup championship. Then what? Then you retire and you still got to, potentially, you're not promised your next breath, but, you know, potentially a lot of life left. Then what? And it was always, I was asking myself questions I hadn't asked. It was always a then what? Then it got deeper of, what's the point of life? Then it was talks of my wife and I having children. Like, okay, what's the point of having kids? And then my you know, parents were like, well, you know, because you love them so much. And I'm like, absolutely. I don't doubt that. That form of love is something amazing. I can't even fathom. I mean, we love our dog so much. I can't even imagine. And it was
Brian's a great boy.
And it was like, well, you see him ride their bike for the first time, this and that. I'm like, yeah, but if I can't explain to them the why evil, bad things happen in life, why everything in this world's imperfect. If I can't explain to them the point of their existence, what is the purpose of bringing children into this world? And it caused me to pump the brakes on absolutely everything. And Michael McDowell and some amazing people around me changed my life.
That is pretty deep, not going to lie. I did not expect to get this deep at 11:40 in the morning, but you kind of led me to my next point. I mean, Michael has been really influential in a lot of people's lives, and we saw a lot of people, I mean, yourself, Joey Logano, some others, kind of come out after he won the 500 this year, and they were so happy for him on a professional level. but they were also so happy for him on a personal level. I think you may have been among the drivers that went to Victory Lane to congratulate him, because he has been very influential in you and Tay's life from a faith perspective, but also just from a friendship and professional perspective as well. So he's been integral.
100%. It's amazing how much our racing community is a family, and that's just an example of it, of how we, you know, people can change each other's lives. And just through him being a genuinely good human being, him and his wife Jamie, and they were a big part of being a role model for us and changing our lives. So when I did have those questions, I just finally became vulnerable for the first time in my life and took that block on my, I had this block up in my heart. I let my brain block my heart, basically, which we, a lot of us are guilty of. And I was like, why am I not digging in? Why am I not asking these questions? Is it, how is it, am I, every person has wondered, even though they'll pretend they haven't, what happens after you die? Are you truly okay with not knowing? Are you truly not okay knowing the point of life? And I was like, I may never get my answer, but I'm a realist. I have to know things factually and for 100% true, like for a fact, more than the fact you and I are talking to, again, that's to a fault of mine. But I was like, why am I not asking these questions? Maybe I'll never get an answer, but I want to know how they think. And a person like McDowell, I talked to him and it actually drove me crazy when I talked to him, because I felt something with him, a sense of peace that I didn't have. And I wanted to learn more, and you know, it's amazing. He planted that seed and changed our lives.
Yeah, yeah, that's intense. And you mentioned your dad. You know, you were very open on a Not Another Racing podcast talking about your dad and, you know, your family going through some mental health issues and stuff. And I imagine that your situation, right, in terms of from a professional level, and now, you know, it's good to have some perspective as you've talked about and realize that racing is not the end all be all, but still it is your passion. It is kind of your life's work, so to speak, and to go through the trials and the tribulations and the highs, lows, roller coaster that you have this season, I'm sure that it's weighed on your, Tay's mental health as well. So having that perspective from a family aspect, to know that that cliche, you know, it's okay to not be okay, that's probably helped you navigate this latest, I guess you can say, storm in the waters, right?
Yeah, it helps, you know, helps you navigate everything, because you just have a completely different perspective. Mm-hmm. And an understanding on life and why we do battle those things, and why, you know, why my dad has battled some of those things, and trying, you just try and be there for him and help and guide, and why life in general is imperfect. And it helps you on the roller coaster of emotions, understanding that at the end of the day, you know, this racing stuff, it's, I love it and I'm so invested all in, and I want to win so bad. I have to take a step back and know that it's going to work out the way it's supposed to. And life itself is bigger than those things. So your highs are less high and your lows are less low. And you kind of just hopefully help to bring that perspective to others.
Yeah, it's definitely good to have that perspective while also keeping your eye on the prize. So I think you got a really good balance of that. Let's get back to racing a little bit. I know that you said initially kind of for next year that you'd like to stay in the Cup Series. Who wouldn't, right? Once you've made a name for yourself there, you don't want to leave and go back down, so to speak. But at this point, I think you said earlier as well, I think we talked at Watkins Glen, it was that you are open to going down to the Xfinity or the Truck Series. Is that kind of still where your mindset is at this point? You're open to all three national series?
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna beat up on myself a little bit here, because I'm a big critic of my own self. Uh-huh. And I had to take a step back at a point when I was like, I want to be in Cup. I know I can win a Cup and I'm supposed to be here, blah, blah, blah. And you know, we changed crew chiefs this year and worked on our 21 team, and we got it rocking and rolling, where we're top 10 of them to death and running well. Again, we're a step behind the Hendrick cars, as probably the whole field's going to say.
Yeah.
We were in that kind of 5th to 10th range on a darn near weekly basis is where we, our speed was. But then I got to thinking about it, and I was like, hey, I need to take a step back myself, make sure I'm humbling myself and not putting my desires and what I want first. Because again, my plan isn't always exactly how things are going to work out, how they're supposed to work out. There's a larger plan than that. So I had to take a step back and be like, I need to be open to everything, work through all of them, and then navigate what's going to be meant to be for next year.
As you know, this is a pay-to-play sport, unfortunately, in a lot of cases. And I'm curious if you've developed any relationships with sponsors, maybe existing with the Wood Brothers, or outside of that, that you were able to maybe take to some teams and say, hey,
I do have some funding to carry with me to this team should a deal arise. Have you been able to parlay any relationships into some sponsorship and funding, or are you still kind of working from square one on that?
So working on that, and it's interesting. That's where I'm like, okay, who knows what's meant to be. And so people that know me know I'm very, passionate about a lot of topics, and I like to be me and authentic and share my story and such. And I was like, I'm very openly passionate about things like God, country, freedom, and the freedom that we have in our country. My brother's in the military, things like that, not taking for granted the freedoms that we do have living in this country and such. And as we're going through crazy times in the world, it's a passionate topic of mine. I love our NASCAR demographic, because a lot of folks, are passionate about the same items, and we have a great sport. But that's where I was like, hey, maybe, you guys will see, I'll probably share some stuff on my social media, actually. Phoenix race weekend, we have some awesome guests coming to the racetrack, and cool. Working on a partnership there that hopefully is the best of both worlds, allows some of those things to happen where I can, talk about them, share just a good positive message and spread love and good things to folks, and also bring it to NASCAR to where then you do have that partnership, and maybe it all works together. So stay tuned for some of that stuff, and hopefully all that works out.
Good. We will definitely stay tuned on that. Couple more racing questions in terms of this year. I know we only got one race left here at Phoenix, but you mentioned when Jonathan Hassler came on as the crew chief, I think it was around midseason, you saw the performance uptick kind of happen immediately. And maybe the results didn't show up, but the speed was there. It was a little bit better. The strategy was a little bit better. You felt better inside the race car knowing that Jonathan was calling the shots atop the pit box, and you had the utmost confidence in him. He's now moving on to great things as well at Team Penske, but you saw that change in Jonathan and in you because of him at the midpoint of the season. So if only that may have happened a little bit sooner, who's to say what could have happened in 2021, I guess.
For sure. So, I make sure to preface this with, hey, it's no disrespect to, Greg Irwin, who's our crew chief before, right, or anybody for that sake. It's a relationship. It doesn't mean one person's good and one's bad. It's right. A relationship between the driver and crew chief, no different than a relationship with a husband and their wife or any friendship or whatever it is. Yeah. It's got to click. And it just wasn't clicking. And then we made that change, and Hassler took over, and we really clicked immediately. And we had a stretch of six races in a row where our worst finish was 11th. And that was with kind of throwing some Hail Marys for wins, where even, some of those finishes would have been even better too. We were, rightfully so, going for it. And that's just a testament to how, great that our team is. And again, that was with us being a step behind some of the Hendrick and Gibbs cars. And we were we could top 10 them to death, and executing and making the most of our stuff. And we've continued to get better. And that's just how important those people are. All the people around you are, just like an NFL head coach is to a team, or your all the people blocking for you, or your receivers running your route.
It's all about relationships. That's right. Speaking of relationships, let's talk about your better half, Tay. Are you guys still doing CrossFit and killing it in the gym? I hope so.
So we're very blessed to have a home gym now, which is awesome. You may have seen nice. Some social media videos.
Yeah.
That we got that's been a dream of mine. I've always wanted a cool home gym. So she, we'll still go to CrossFit Catawba Valley some as well, which is near us. They're all family to us. But yeah, we can do it at home as well and do some functional fitness and functional strength training is what I enjoy doing. And we work out together. So Tay and I work out together. And I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of workouts where if it's a little more cardio intensive, and she's strong too for her size, there's a lot of workouts where I'd be embarrassed to say it, to tell people how bad she beats me. She's pretty darn tough.
She's your better half for a reason, right? Come on now.
On all fronts, yes.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I feel like you guys may be able to take some frustrations out while you're doing CrossFit or something like that. So it's good to just like get off a phone call, be pissed off, go to your home gym, and then just take out all your frustrations. That's why you got it.
It is such a mental, it's a mental thing for me and for both Definitely. Of us, really. Because if you're working and you're having a tough day or whatever, you go out there, you crank on some music and you get in a good positive mindset and you just have fun because you're disconnected from everything and doing something that you enjoy.
Yeah. I actually felt like you this morning. It was an honor of you. I was meal prepping. I got my rice, my peppers, and my grilled chicken. So I'm basically you.
100%. So you're living in a week of the life of us for sure.
That's a big water bottle. What is that, like a gallon?
Yeah, that's a half gallon right here. So yeah, this is
big.
This is when I drink a ton of water. I honestly drink like 2.5 of these things a day. I realize, wow, I drink a ton of water.
Yeah, it's good to be hydrated. All right, couple more quick things. When do you hope to know what you're doing for next year? I know that you wish that you knew earlier and you knew by now, but do you have like a deadline of when you think you need to have something in place, or are you kind of just flying by the seat of your pants at this point?
Yeah, about 2 months ago. It's pretty much just flying by the seat of my pants and having to be like, okay, even though I'll get stressed and be like, oh, it's late in the game, we need to get things going and figure it out. But it's just part of it, man. It's a crazy mm-hmm. sport that we live in. So even though it's a very short timeline, we're gonna know sooner than later, because I mean it's yeah. just we're gonna be our hands gonna be forced to know and mm-hmm. and have that decision made, and it'll all fall into place. It's just been a lot of work trying to figure it out.
Definitely. Well, we hope to see you on track next year, and we hope to know what you're doing soon. I also hope we get some more Not Another Racing podcast, please. I was giving Ryan some crap the other day because I was like, dude, where are you and Matt? Like, you said you're going to do it every week, and boom, you dropped off the face of the earth. But I know you guys are both busy, but hopefully in the off season we can crank it back up again.
Yeah, so Ryan and his wife had a baby, and he's been, and he's also working full time, so it was getting hard. Yeah. Trying to schedule guests around
he's
that.
He's busier than you, probably.
Yeah, with a baby and a full-time job. Oh, yeah. It was getting tough. And then with my schedule and trying to not having enough flexibility scheduling mm-hmm. guests in, we just kind of pumped the brakes for now. And as I'm figuring out everything for next year. But I'm wanting to kind of do more consistent stuff on social media and some videos weekly and get back to a little engagement on a different side.
Yeah. Well, we're looking forward to hearing some more episodes, hopefully soon, and hearing what your plans are for next year. Matty D, it was great catching up with you, man. Appreciate your honesty. Appreciate your perspective, for real. I think a lot of people listening will definitely take some of that and implement it in their own lives. So best of luck in the season finale in Phoenix this upcoming weekend, and we'll hopefully be talking with you soon and hearing a lot about you.
Yeah, sounds good, man. Thank you.
White flags out on the podcast this week. As always, big, big thank you to Matty D. Always a fan favorite, and we appreciate him carving out some time in his busy schedule right now as 2021 season comes to a close. And big thank you to Jessica Morris as well for helping coordinate that conversation. It was great to catch up with Matty D. All right, fellas. Championship 4 weekend is here, and we are hyped for it. We are ready to rock and roll. We are on the ground in Phoenix. Big weekend of action. Let's start with our predictions and what we think is going to happen. Let's start with the Truck Series. Zane Smith going for his first title, does not know his plans for next year. Matt Crafton going for his fourth, right? Fourth title? Pretty quiet there.
Potentially his second without a win.
That's correct. He was the first driver in the National Series.
Only driver so far.
That's right. So we'll see if Matt Crafton can do that again. His teammate Ben Rhodes and John Hunter Nemechek obviously has been the dominator all season long. I'll lead things off. I think it'd be naive to not go with the Ford truck. He's been the best truck all season. I don't see that changing at Phoenix. I think out of the three National Series, trucks is probably the most predictable. And now that I said that, it probably will be crazy because we've seen how Truck Series races end. But I'm going with the Ford, Daniel. Who are you going with?
It's Nemechek, Crafton,
Rhodes,
Smith. All right. I'm going Crafton. I think Crafton's going to break the system again.
All right. What about you, Zach?
Well, I like the fact that Daniel didn't pick JHN, and I say that because all five of JHN's wins this season happened in the first 13 races of the season. He's not won during this playoffs. He's not been particularly, exceptional throughout this playoff run. So I don't know if he has as much momentum as we like to think that he does.
What type of tracks were his wins on?
So this year, the Ford truck ended up winning at Vegas, Richmond, Charlotte, Fort Worth, Texas, and Pocono.
So Richmond's really the only one you could really...
Well, Richmond is,
it's very like Phoenix.
Yeah.
So I don't think that that would be a bad comparison at all.
No, it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility by any means. But as far as my pick for this weekend, I have a sneaky suspicion about Ben Rhodes kind of finding some momentum here. He's got the same amount of top 10s as JHN this year with 15. That's tied for a series best with also Todd Gilliland, by the way, who's been super fast lately. But Ben Rhodes, he's been sneaky this season. It would be out of nowhere for him to win this championship. Yeah. But he won the first two races of the season. Let's win the last one, right?
Yeah, and he's been quiet since then, but I feel like that would be very Ben Rhodes-esque.
He's going to Reddick the championship.
He could. He really could. You never know. All right, on to the Xfinity Series, Saturday afternoon and evening from Phoenix Raceway. Noah Gragson, Austin Cindric, AJ Allmendinger, and the bridesmaid himself, Daniel Hemric. He was so close to Martinsville, but he still cannot get it done. And he was so mad at himself, too, because he said that the racer in him did not make the right decision. It is possible that Daniel Hemric will not win the race, but still win the championship. That would be the most Daniel Hemric thing of all time.
Like, he has no national wins, period.
No, 209 or 10 race winless streak.
What's, like, the closest to that, like, in NASCAR history? Like, the fewest amount of wins?
I don't know. The thing that comes to mind is Michael Waltrip winning Daytona in 2001 after going 315 races.
About championship, though. I'm just like, fewest wins, they somehow win a championship.
It's a good question, but I mean, even when Michael won his Daytona 500 win, he had an all-star race win before that. He had Busch Series wins before that. Hemric, at this point, is still searching for a win, a championship.
Maybe Matt Kenseth, 2003, he only won once. I mean, he was very consistent, but at least...
Oh, you're talking about season.
Yeah.
I'm talking just career, so...
I don't know if there's been a driver who has... I don't. There's never. There can't be a driver who's won a championship without winning a race. There can't be.
I mean, there's no. At this point, I'm pretty sure there isn't.
Yeah.
You think he's gonna do it though?
My pick is either him or Allmendinger.
Okay, make one.
Mine's
Allmendinger. I want to see that celebration.
Yeah, I'm picking Allmendinger.
What about you?
Man, I would love to see Allmendinger do it. I am going to go ahead and take the outlier here. I'm going to take Daniel Hemric. I'm going to have him winning this race,
wow,
but also winning the championship. Austin Cindric, we can't forget about him. I feel like he's the driver we've talked about least in this Xfinity Series conversation, but he's won each of the last two races at Phoenix. It's very conceivable that he goes out, does that again, but I haven't seen a whole lot of strength from him lately that says that he's going to go out there and do it. I say Daniel Hemric, it's time. It's time. We've been saying that for the last half a decade, but I think finally Daniel Hemric gets it done.
Think we're going to see a backflip?
Ooh, that's a good question.
We have to.
You probably have to, right?
Well, we know he still got it because after Bubba Wallace won.
He did one on the golf course. Yes, so we know he does still have it. All right, the main event of the weekend. Kyle Larson, Chase Elliott from Hendrick Motorsports, Denny Hamlin, and Martin Truex Jr. from Joe Gibbs Racing. I really think that this is so close to call, too close to call almost, because Denny Hamlin's the quickest car statistically on 750 tracks. Martin Truex Jr. won at Phoenix earlier this season and has been sneakily quiet all playoffs long.
All of his wins have been on. So.
That's right. Correct. Tied for second most wins in the series this year, all on 750 tracks. Kyle Larson has won 9 times this year and been the utter dominant driver. And Chase Elliott is the defending champion and won this race a year ago and had a really good car last week at Martinsville, won the first two stages, but got knocked out of the way. So, Zach, I don't know where you're leaning. I don't even know where I'm leaning, but I really think that the four best drivers make up this championship for the Cup Series.
Don't break, guys. Qualifying.
Yes. In practice. We love that.
We do love that. I think this weekend shapes up wonderfully for Denny Hamlin. I think this is the weekend for Denny to get it done. I wrote about this for Front Stretch for my column this week. You can check that out, Zach's turn. I think this anger, this kind of, I don't know, this, he was livid after the Martinsville race with Alex Bowman. And, you know, a lot of people will point to that and say, okay, well, he's clearly mentally not in it at this point. And He's too distracted. This,
that's such a BS argument.
I know.
Like, people that's, and I wrote about that too, people that say he's not focused because he's calling out Bowman, like, who cares? Yeah, he's a professional. He's gotten here for a reason. Like, yes, he was mad in the moment. I guarantee that when he walked in the door in his multi-million-dollar mansion, he was focused on Phoenix. I think that's a BS argument.
No, I agree 100%. I think this only fuels him more, to be honest with you. And I think with everything that he's done this season, I feel like it's shaping up. Denny Hamlin wins his first NASCAR Cup Series championship.
Mr. McFadden, where do you lean?
I'm taking Truex. I'm taking him to win, get number two. Like I said, like, he's won, all of his races have been on 750. He won at Richmond. He won at Phoenix. I think he's the one people are least likely to be talking about this weekend. I think he's going to get it.
I'm picking Truex, too. I picked him actually at the start of the playoffs. I got three of my final four correct, but I picked Truex from the start just because I think he's really good at Phoenix. He's sneaky enough, and he's one of those veterans that I don't necessarily think he needs practice or qualifying, but I think that out of the four, he and James Small may be able to use it the best and make the most out of that time. So I'm picking Truex as well. And, all right, so Zach, you have picked Denny Hamlin. Daniel, you have picked Martin Truex Jr., as have I. So none of us are picking Kyle Larson.
That's absurd. That's absolutely absurd. You know that, right?
Yeah, but it's a one race winner take all. This is a product of the format. You can be the best driver all season long by far and still not win the title.
Like, of his nine wins, how many were 750 ovals?
Four.
Oh.
Four?
Well, he's got two on road courses.
So I think two were up.
Our researcher is getting back out his iPad to try to do research for us.
Let me Google it for you.
Well, he's got them on all types of tracks. I know he hasn't won on super speedways.
Don't forget, he did win at Bristol when everything else broke loose. That was his latest 750 win. I'm pretty sure that on an oval at least. But as I pull, very very different kind of oval, no question. Let's see here. Here are the wins from this season.
Okay, so we got 2021. Okay. Las Vegas, 550. Charlotte, 550. Sonoma, road course. Nashville, that was 750, though, right?
That was
750. Watkins Glen, road course. Bristol, 750. Roval, road course, 750. Texas, 550. Kansas, 550. So two 550 oval wins, and we know that Hendrick Motorsports is not necessarily the best on 550 tracks. Joe Gibbs Racing kind of has that as their sweet spot, so I don't think it's crazy to say that Kyle Larson is not going to win. I don't know if he should be the favorite, and we're going to get into that next in our betting segment, but I don't think it's crazy to say that he should not be the favorite because the stats bear that out.
I think that's fair, and I think we saw that last weekend at Martinsville too. Now, that said, he had a great run going, and I think his two runs at Martinsville this year were the best of his career, but Martinsville has never been a Larson track. Phoenix has historically not been a Larson track, but I do think he finished second there back in 2014 or 17.
His last six or seven starts there, he's finished in the top 10.
Three point?
Yeah. He will be good. I just don't know if he's going to be good enough.
Checkered flag, here I come. Oh, no!
Checkered flag is out on the podcast this week. You guys know we do our do's and our don'ts. Daniel's do, Daniel's don't. Zach Zoo, Zach Zont. Daniel's rolling his eyes at this segment.
I'm trying to remember what I'm supposed to do for this segment.
One thing that you do expect to happen, and one thing that you do not expect to happen. I will go first. My do is to expect more chaos in the truck series. I don't think that they've come this far to play nice at the last race of the season. If anything, it's going to be Martinsville on steroids. So my do is to expect more truck series chaos. And my don't is kind of what we just mentioned. Don't expect Larson to go out there and absolutely annihilate the field like we've seen 9-plus times this season. I just don't think Hendrick's strength is on these type of tracks. I don't think Hendrick's strength is at this specific racetrack. And I think that the other championship four contenders will outrun Larson on pure raw speed on Sunday. And now that I said that, congratulations, Kyle Larson, on your championship. Zach, what is your zoo and what is your zone very quickly?
My zoo is to expect practice to make a difference. I don't know if the speed chart's going to tell us anything, but I do think that that extra track time and that extra preparation is going to make a difference in what we see on Sunday. So if you see a car that looks really good in practice Friday, expect that to make a difference on Sunday. My zoned.
I love it.
It's fantastic. Do not expect. I'll take the low hanging fruit here. Do not expect this race to be won by anyone outside of the playoff bracket. The odds tell it all. I was looking at the BetMGM odds earlier this afternoon. The top four all have at least a 9-2 chance of winning this race. Everyone else 16-1 at best. That would be Kyle Busch, who's the next one up. Now, Kyle Busch is someone to keep an eye on potentially because of practice, and we know how much of a difference that seems to make for him. That said, do not expect anyone outside these four championship contenders to factor into the win on Sunday.
Wonderful zoo, wonderful zoned. Daniel.
Do.
What you got?
Sorry. Do.
Jump the gun there, guy.
Sorry. Look, there was a gap. There was
I'm not editing that out either.
Sorry. Do expect Denny Hamlin to have a pit penalty at some point.
Oh, that's a lock. That is a mortal lock. Speeding penalty in stage one.
But right. Don't expect Kyle Larson to finish in the top five.
Wow. That's pretty bold. Because I think every year, I mean, they've run in the top five, all the championship four contenders. So that's pretty bold. I like that. Even though he jumped the gun, I like that. Odds courtesy of William Hill in association with Caesars Sportsbook. So let's look at the championship four driver odds. The top four drivers, as Zach mentioned, they are the championship four. Kyle Larson plus 120, Chase Elliott plus 350. So actually, the two Hendrick guys have better odds than the two Gibbs guys. Denny Hamlin plus 450 and Martin Truex Jr., Daniel and my pick to win the championship plus 500. And then on this, the next closest is William Byron at plus 1700. So 1200 points of an odds difference there. But you guys know how this works. We'll go rapid fire, quick hitters, matchups, driver versus driver, head to head. Daniel, are you ready?
Shoot.
Zach, are you ready?
I am so ready.
Kyle Busch versus William Byron. I will go with Willie B.
I will go with Kyle Busch.
Byron.
Kyle Larson versus Chase Elliott. It might be the battle for the championship, even though they misspelled Elliott's name here on this website.
Ooh, I'm going to go Kyle Larson.
I will go Chase Elliott.
Elliott.
Alex Almirola. You see this?
Oh,
yeah. Alex Almirola versus Matt DiBenedetto. Wow.
Is that Eric's twin brother with a mustache?
Isn't his son's name Alex?
You know, it might be.
Eric Almirola's son versus Matt DiBenedetto. I'm gonna go Matty D. I hope, for his sake, he was a guest on the show this week. I hope that he goes out with a good run.
You know, I like that pick. Matt DiBenedetto.
You don't want to bet on a child?
Not this time. Not this time. Something about that feels wildly illegal.
Almirola.
Alex or Eric?
Alec.
All right.
Alec?
Bubba Wallace versus Chris Buescher. I will go with Buescher, coming off a top 10 at Martinsville.
I'll go with Bubba.
Bubba.
Alex Bowman versus Christopher Bell. I'll go with Bowman with the hot hand.
Give me the hack.
I'll take the hacker as well.
Hopefully he doesn't hack this podcast because it's off the rails. Kurt Busch versus Tyler Reddick. I will go with Kurt to close out his Ganassi tenure.
Tyler Reddick, too fast.
Kurt Busch.
Kurt is the favorite, so Zach, you may sprinkle some on that. Austin Dillon versus Ross Chastain. I'll go with the Melon Man for a little upset.
I'll take Austin Dillon here.
What was that little...
I don't really know. That's me losing my mind. That's my brain cracking right there.
Austin Dillon versus Ross Chastain, Daniel.
Ross Chastain.
Brad Keselowski versus Joey Logano.
Keselowski.
Joey Logano is too good a Phoenix. Logano.
Kevin Harvick versus Ryan Blaney. I will go YRB.
YRB.
Blaney, yeah.
Martin Truex Jr. versus Denny Hamlin to close things off. I gotta roll with Truex. I got to. Even though he's the underdog here.
Hamlin.
Truex.
All right, fellas. This has been a great start to the day. I've been with you guys for, 3 hours. We discovered that there are, in fact, seatbelts in the back of our rental truck. Thank you, Tom Bowles, for giving us a rental truck.
And there's a dead bird in the alley behind us.
There sure is, but fear not. No dead bodies. We are good to go on that front. We got Media Day coming up. We got the Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, the Cup Series, and the Arca Menards Series West. We're going to crown not three, but four champions this weekend. So, fellas, I'm excited that we are all here to do it. And we're waiting for our compadre from J-Ski, Dustin Albino, to come. He's currently probably somewhere over the Midwest right now, so he's on his way.
It's going to be a great time. We've got an obscene amount of content coming your way, and it's going to be a lot of good stuff on frontstretch.com here.
How obscene? Like rated R, PG-13?
Obscene as you want to make it.
X going to give it to you. That's all I'll say. Thank you guys for listening to this episode of the Front Stretch Podcast live from Phoenix at Wunderjant, wherever the hell we are. If you like what you heard here today, leave us a rating and a review. Subscribe to the podcast. We're available on Apple, Spotify, Google, SoundCloud, wherever you get your podcasts. We should be available there for your consumption. For Daniel and Zach, I am Davey. Thank you guys for listening. Enjoy the championship for this weekend. We will catch you on the flip side.